الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we find ourselves once again in the season or in the months of Hajj. And we find that the occasion of Hajj is a very, very noble and a very, very great occasion in Islam. Normally, we find that preparations for Hajj takes place months in advance. And it is an occasion wherein many a times it has been described as a once-in-a-lifetime occasion. Ask any person, he might have performed many, many Hajj, but he will remember every time he made that spiritual journey to the holy lands, and he will remember virtually every experience of his. Such is the occasion that Allah Ta'ala has made, the occasion of Hajj. We find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time that Hajj became fard upon the ummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only performed Hajj once. But it was a very, very remarkable occasion, and the advices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave on the occasion of Hajj, which we refer to as Hajjatul Wada, farewell Hajj, it was parting advices for the ummah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made parda from this dunya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world approximately 81 days after the day of Arafah. So the advices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada were farewell advices and very, very pertinent advices. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Sahaba, and it was over 100,000 Sahaba that were present on that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquires from the Sahaba that, do you know what month this is? Do you know what day this is? Do you know what place this is? قَالُوا شَهْرٌ حَرَامٌ. This is a sacred month. The Sahaba replied, O Nabi of Allah, it is a sacred month. It is a sacred day. And it is a sacred place also. The occasion was a sacred occasion. And the month also was a sacred month. It was not permissible to shed blood in that month. Fighting was not permissible in that month. The place also, it was not permissible to fight and spread blood in that month. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter advises the Sahaba and says that إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضُكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. That verily the blood, the wealth and the honor of a Muslim, The blood, the wealth and the honor of a Muslim is also sacred. Like the sacredness of this month, like the sacredness of this place, and like the sacredness of this day, the honor and dignity and the wealth and the respect of a Muslim is also sacred. Once Nabi Asad was salam was making tawaf of the Kaaba, and he addresses the Kaaba, and he mentioned that you are such a great and magnificent Kaaba, and your fragrance is so beautiful. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, that by that being in whose hands, in whose control lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honor and dignity of a believer is far greater than the honor and dignity of the Kaaba also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion advises the ummah regarding the respect and the honor of a believer. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allah la tazalamu. Three times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously mentions that do not oppress one another, do not oppress one another, do not oppress one another. Ammar bin Malik rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of an incident of a policeman. Allah Ta'ala had given him, obviously being a policeman, Allah Ta'ala had given him control and authority over others. And naturally when a person has control, when a person has power, when a person has authority over others, then the temptation comes about to exercise his authority and his power and might over others. That is why in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there are three categories of people whose du'as are not rejected, whose du'as are readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first category, the first person is Imamun Adilun, a just ruler. A ruler despite being given power, authority, might, and he has in his ability to rule as he pleases, as he wishes. Nobody can stop him from being oppressive and unjust. But despite having that control, he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he refrains from oppressing. So Amr bin Malik makes mention of this policeman that he was walking on the seashore, and as he is walking, he sees this fisherman coming out with some fish. So first he goes up to this fisherman and he demands that fish from him. So this fisherman politely declines. Thereafter he offers to buy it from him. So he again declines. Now this policeman uses his authority and he goes and oppresses this person, this fisherman, and he forcefully takes possession of that fish. And he goes away thereafter. And thereafter, as he is going, this fish bites his thumb and holds on to it. So he tries very, very hard to free his thumb from the lock of this fish, but he is unable to do so. So thereafter he goes home, and after much difficulty and assistance from family members, he manages to free his thumb from the lock of this fish. So as a while passed, initially it was a small wound, but as time passed, this wound of his became septic, and he decided to go and see a doctor, and the doctor tells him that sadly, the only way out for you from this wound of yours is that your thumb has to be amputated. So regretfully he agrees to allow his thumb to be amputated. And after a while pass, he notices that now his wrist is also becoming swelling and becoming septic. And he once again goes and visits this doctor. So this doctor tells him that to prevent it from spreading further, your entire hand will now have to be cut off. So after this takes place, and he continues living his life, he once again notices that this wound is now spreading, and once again he goes and visits the doctor, and now he is told that your forearm will have to be cut off. And after allowing this, he notices that the wound is still spreading and it is still swelling. Now he becomes very, very regretful, very, very remorseful. When he goes to the doctor and he's advised that he'll have to further cut, he refuses, and he comes out from this place screaming and shouting like a madman, and going in a direction where he does not know where he is going. And after a long, tiresome day, he goes and he lies down, tired, he goes and lies down under a tree, and he sleeps away, he dozes off. And in his dream, he sees a person comes to him and tells him that when are you going to realize that the repercussions of your oppression, of your evil action, you are now facing the consequences and the repercussions of it. So he wakes up and then he realizes that this is because of my wrongdoing, because of my evil. So he goes in search of that fisherman. He goes on the seashore in anxiously trying to search for this fisherman, and eventually he finds him and he narrates the entire incident to him. So the fisherman looks at him and makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah ta'ala to remove the difficulty and the suffering that he's experiencing. And no sooner had he made dua to Allah ta'ala, instantly that person's hand became cured. And thereafter he tells the fisherman that this was the result of the dua that I had made. He tells the policeman, the fisherman tells the policeman that this is the result of the dua that I had made. And now he takes him with him home and he gives him some gold coins. According to the narration, he gave him 1,000 gold coins and he tells him that go and distribute it amongst your family and amongst those who are needy also. So before he is about to depart, this policeman addresses the fisherman and inquires from him that what sort of dua did you make against me? So this fisherman tells the policeman that on that occasion when you forcefully snatched this fish away from me and you struck me on my head and you abused me, and after you had departed, I raised my hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I told Allah ta'ala that, oh my Allah, you have made me weak and you have made him strong. You are the creator of both of us. But you have made me weak and you have made him strong. And you have given him control and authority over me. And oh Allah, you have given him the ability to use his authority over me. And he has used his authority over me abusively. And he has been unjust upon me. He has oppressed me. He has used his authority in a wrong way. Oh Allah, you make him an example of how a person should not oppress. Use him as an example of how a person should not abuse and exercise his authority. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua. And it was because of this that he experienced so much difficulty and so much suffering. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, اِتَّقُوا دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. That be very, very careful. Fear. Be careful of the dua of an oppressed person. Why? Because between that person's dua and Allah Ta'ala, there is no barrier. His dua goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he is a believer or not. If you are wrongfully treating that person in a harsh way, then his dua goes direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be very, very careful from exploiting a person. Those that are under us, our subordinates, our staff, our servants at home, be very, very careful of being unfair and unjust upon them. They might not tell you anything. They might be in a difficult position. You might treat them harshly, address them harshly, exploit them, pay them a pittance. Our one meal in a restaurant is equal or more than their entire month's wages. They are witnessing it. They are looking at it. All the difficulty that they are going through, they are barely able to scrape up something to feed their family at home. They are sacrificing their lives to carry out our menial chores, such chores that we do not want to carry out on our own. They are sacrificing their entire lives to carry out our chores, and we are being oppressive upon them. They might not say anything, but in their heart, the dua goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person might be in a difficult position. He is going through financial difficulty, and in order to cover his financial losses, he is prepared to sell off his items. And when you are going to bargain with him, you realize that he's in a desperate position. So you offer him lower than the market value. And we offer him low prices. Why? So because of his desperation and the condition and the situation that he faces in. And outwardly that deal might be halal. But what barakah is left in when a person is being extorted? So friends and elders, This was the advice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Hajjatul Wada, that to treat insan, to treat mankind kindly, to be very, very careful about oppressing one another. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about a true Muslim in the advices of Hajjatul Wada, al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A true Muslim, a true believer is that person who another Muslim is saved from the evil of his hands, from the evil of his tongue. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And who is that warrior? Who is that mujahid? That person who sacrifices himself in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَ وَالذُّنُوبَ. A true immigrant. Who is that immigrant? That person who goes away, who migrates from gunas and sins. Friends and elders, we are finding ourselves once again in a condition, it is being referred to as the third wave. We are finding halat and condition have come upon us. Ummat, friends and elders, it's our duty and our responsibility to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these conditions. Around us, we look around us, and what is being promoted? Prevention, protection, save yourself, and protect yourself. But friends and elders, how much have we made as a preparation also? That grave is calling out. We are witnessing janazas taking place around us. The first, when you enter the graveyard, the qabristan, before entering the qabristan, we recite the dua. And what the dua is a reminder for us. وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِكُونَ. We are addressing the inhabitants of the grave. And what we are telling them? That, oh, inhabitants of the grave, that time is coming. وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِكُونَ. We also have to go to meet you. It is something that we cannot avoid. So friends and elders, as much as we are promoting and talking about protection and saving ourselves, friends and elders, let us also serve as a reminder when we're seeing the deaths around us, that is also be as a means of us preparing for that day when we also have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those friends and elders, let us not turn our backs on the masjid. Let us ensure that we perform our salah with jamaat in the masjid. Inshallah, that will be a protection. Nabi Akram also mentioned the hadith, man salla subha fi jama'atin, fawwa fi dhimmatillah. That person who performs his fajr salah with jamaat in the masjid, he becomes a man of the masjid. Then he is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that those that are suffering and those who are ill, may Allah ta'ala grant them complete and kamil shifa. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those have succumbed and those that have passed on, may Allah ta'ala grant them jannatul firdaus and make it easy for the families of those who are suffering. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.